Hey, who are the big winners of spring so far? My number one may surprise you.
In the World Full of Podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's episode 30 of the Top Button Podcast. I'm buttoned up, flattened out, ready to go. It's Charlie Five, and let's have some fun. Today, we're going to talk winners of spring. Who are some of the winners of spring? Is April going to be a big month for recruiting? And then there's a big basketball visitor on campus that I think speaks volumes about a lot of the narratives that have been going around lately. But before we get into it, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes at Active Wealth Management. Check him out at activewealth.com or annuity360.net. Hey, you can go on annuity360.net and you can request a free book, and Ford typically will sign them for you. Inside those books, you'll get a lot of tips, a lot of strategies and things like that that explain how annuities can help protect the wealth that you've earned, grow it, and have it there when you need it later on. So big Auburn fan, Auburn guy, why not? If you trust, if you love Auburn, why not reach out to another Auburn guy to trust your wealth with? And that's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. So show them some love, activewealth.com or at annuity360.net. All right, so spring is winding down. We got the 8A game coming this weekend, and there have been several standouts. Some of them are names that you would expect, and then some of them are names you wouldn't expect. This is a weird spring in which it doesn't feel like there are a lot of true, I guess, position battles, so to speak. Like, it's sort of a lot of incumbents, okay? You got a lot of guys that played on the offensive line last year. That are coming back and they're going to be playing again. You got your starting quarterback. You got starting running backs. Your wide receiver room was a little open. I say a little open. It was wide open. And then on defense, again, you got multiple DBs that can play that are filling in a little bit everywhere. So nobody's really – we don't even really know what that starting rotation looks like outside of maybe corner. Your starting linebackers were coming back. A lot of your defensive linemen were coming back. So a lot of my – winners, so to speak, are guys that are younger, guys that are battling for the future, battling for their spots on the, on the two deep. And my first winner is or my number three winner of spring is actually not one of those, but it's still the 2-1 are. So my number three winner of spring is a guy who has faced so much adversity at Auburn. And I think he's having a great spring, and it seems like he's going to be solidified in the starting lineup. And hopefully, for the first time, he feels healthy and ready to go. And that's your right guard. I believe it'll be your right guard, Jeremiah Wright. Seems like he's been here for 10 years. Started off as a defensive lineman and then rotated over to offensive line, and he's just had nagging injury after nagging injury. Last year, I believe it was a shoulder that ended up knocking him out of the starting lineup. He was just never and it seemed like the times when he's been healthy, he's been our best offensive lineman. So this year, I think, is a big year for him. He sort of solidified himself. We brought in a lot of young guys. We brought in a lot of portal guys that could have unseated him. I think he sort of solidified himself in that right guard spot. And couple that with being healthy and then all of the other additions, it's massive for this offensive line, and I think Jeremiah Wright is primed for a big year. So he's my outlier as far as one of the older guys, winning spring. I think just being able to go through a spring healthy, man, that's huge. Being able to go through a spring healthy and sort of get in on – I mean, you've seen the influx of talent on the offensive line in such a short period of time, whether it be from the portal, whether it be incoming freshmen, JUCO All-Americans. Whatever, they're bringing in dudes. We're reshaping this line. And for Jeremiah Wright not to get caught up in the wash, even through injuries, and stand out, I think that's big. So Jeremiah Wright's my number three big winner of the spring, and that's got to be exciting for a lot of us to have a veteran, healthy Jeremiah Wright who likes to cave face masks in. He wants to drive the pile downfield. And for him to finally be healthy, boy, that's got to fire you up. I know it fires me up. It fires me up beyond a normal human. So I'm excited for Jeremiah Wright to finally get that shot. My number two, this one's interesting. So when Hugh first came in, he had what I call you have that, I call it a half class. When a coach has come in now, the calendars are so crazy. You get hired, then you got signing day in like less than 3 weeks. So you got to scrounge, make sure your commits are okay. Then you got to go try to find guys that maybe you could flip. Maybe you could, you know, have dudes on the edge that you could go ahead and push across the line. And they go out and they flip a guy, Tyler Johnson from Texas Tech, a four-star, fringe four-star offensive lineman. He was committed to Texas Tech. He comes in and he redshirts, and all you've been hearing is how he has completely reshaped his body, completely reshaped his game, so much so that in one season, he is getting, I don't want to say first team reps, he is getting some first team reps, not because he's challenging to start, because he's so good. We got to make sure this guy is ready in case there's an injury, because it's inevitable that you rarely ever going to start a year and finish a year with an offensive line. So for Tyler Johnson to be a redshirt freshman to come in and sort of solidify himself as the future, I think he's done that. I think this spring he's put himself in a position where he has solidified himself as the future, one of the future bookends at offensive tackle. And I think that's absolutely massive to have young guys like that. Talk about your evals. You know, Jake Thornton got griefs a little bit last recruiting cycle because, hey, we're struggling on landing guys. And then you finish up, you land DeAndre Carter, you bring in Edwin Favor, you get Seth Wilfred. Not a huge class when you feel like you needed to add five or six, but the evals and the development seem to be head and shoulders above where they've been in the past. And then you got this recruiting class that you got going right now that you already have several linemen, and you got a couple of more, three more lined up to possibly commit in the near future. You love it, man. You love it. And something, this sidebar, Texas Tech has somebody on staff that must have some kind of eye for talent. Just it's unreal. And the amount of guys that we seem to be going up against Texas Tech for, that they just seem to be able to pick out those dudes that can play. Like, you got Tyler Johnson. There was a portal guy. His name escapes me. I want to say you had the kid that went to Arkansas, but there was another guy that committed to Texas Tech early that we really wanted on this year's class before we got Percy Lewis. And then you got Broderick Scholl, who they targeted out of Oklahoma and put a lot of emphasis on. And we just got a future cast pick from Steve Wiltfong that he may come to Auburn. So clearly there's somebody over there that can identify talent, because you look at Tyler Johnston and you look at the portal guys that we go, a lot of the similar guys that we go after. And then the track record Jake has of developing, even though it's Texas Tech, there seems to be some kind of offensive line guy over there that knows what he's doing. So Tyler Johnson, huge winner. Boy, it feels good. Boy, it feels good to have a high school kid in the ranks to take over at tackle in the future. That feels really good. Then just putting a Band-Aid on it, bringing a kid in from JUCO, although we love, Tutal, we love Seth Wilfred, just not having to go the Band-Aid route, and you're able to sort of start building your trenches from the high school ranks. That seems to be the recipe for success. And then if you got to supplement some elsewhere, that's fine. But Tyler Johnson, number two winner. And then surprisingly, my number one, and I don't think this guy's getting enough credit for what he's done. It seems like it's a letdown. It seems like he's kind of it's been a letdown because he didn't win the job. But Hank Brown is my number one winner of spring. You've got to take into context everything about this kid. And when you understand that Number one, he was a late addition to Hughes' first class. Late addition to Hughes' first class. He spends 1 year, and he's already worked his way into the second string quarterback, it seems like. It seems like it's pretty clear. It's Peyton Thorne and it's Hank Brown. I don't think many people really, unless you just, I don't know. I don't think many people that are realistic expected Hank to win the job. But you have a guy, Holden had a several-year head start on him. Now, granted, Holden's had a rough road too, where you've had coaching transitions, you've had multiple offensive coordinators. But this guy, Holden's been in college weight rooms. He's been in college throwing programs. And regardless of what you want to say about Brian Harsin, he's been able to have success with quarterbacks. So he got to work with a pretty decent quarterback coach the whole time. And now Hank comes in, and in one full season as a true freshman and then into the spring, it seems like he's unseated Hank Brown. And look, there's nobody after Peyton Thorne. Like that, like there's nobody left. Like, so you just got Peyton Thorne with 1 year left, and then you could be the future. You could be the future. And I think people are surprised at how, you know, you expect this small kid from Tennessee. He's a big kid. He's, you know, 6'4", 6'5", almost, can throw the ball around. He's not incredibly mobile, but if he gets the ball out and he makes good decisions, who cares? Who cares? Sometimes these type of offenses nowadays, you know, short passes and things like that are just like extended handoffs. You know, the RPOs are there's, it's less on the R. I guess the R is typically to the running back, and then you can you pick and choose off that based off of what the defense gives you. So I think that's massive. I think it's huge. I think it's something to be excited about that Hank has come in. He's put his hard hat on, and he's gone to work, and he's looking at this from a long game perspective. And I think that's another thing that is very, very rare today. It's today, I want it now. Hank sees the pathway. He saw his opening, and he pushed, and I think by the end of the spring, we're going to see that he won it. He won his spot to sort of solidify himself as the next guy in line. Because, like, look, it's very rare, okay? It's very, very rare, and I don't even know that it's ideal that in a spring you have a true 50-50 quarterback battle for a starting position. I just don't think that happens very often. I think it's either going to be a returning starter, typically, or you have a guy like Hank that's sort of worked his way up, the starter leaves, and then that guy steps up. And typically that guy is a little bit of head and shoulders above the guys behind him. I just don't think it's very common that you have a true 50-50 quarterback battle, and I don't even know that you necessarily want that. Because you want to be able to build the team around the starter, unless there's just something freaked happens, or it's just your top guy ends up being, you know, tanking for some reason. Typically, it's a progression, and Hank's kind of worked his way up into there. I think that's huge. That's my big winner of the spring, and I'm excited to watch him Saturday. I expect him to light it up. I expect him to continue to do what he did in the bowl game. So, big kudos to Hank there for his spring and locking in and getting it done. I'm very proud of him. All right, big month for recruiting. Could start off with a bang. Okay, so Friday, I believe, Alvin Henderson, top four-star running back, number one running back on our board, is set to commit. And I think this time is for real. You know, he's done this. It seems like he's done this multiple times. He even had a little April Fool's joke in there that everybody, you know, I saw coming from a mile away, but I dadgum and I still let myself think it could possibly happen. So you got me, Alvin. You got me. So Alvin Henderson, top, you know, I don't know exactly, top 150-ish type player, top 10 player in the state, running back that we need, multifaceted back, can catch it, can run it. He commits Friday. Now look, up until this past weekend, I felt very confident that it was going to be Auburn. And I still have a good bit of confidence that it'll be Auburn. But he did visit Miami, I believe, this past weekend, or had a very big time conversation with Miami. So we'll have to see what happens there. But in the end, hoping he picks Auburn. If he picks Auburn, Auburn jumps up to number five in the 247 rankings because the only school it seems like ahead of Auburn, or I'm sorry, it doesn't seem like schools behind Auburn have added commits. It seems like only schools ahead have added commits. Ohio State's on an incredible run right now. So Auburn could move all the way up to number five, assuming nobody else really has any big commitments around them with volume that could, you know, negate, I guess, the points you add when you add Alvin. So could start off with a bang, April 5th, Friday, not sure what time, but that one, put it on your radar. I think it's for real this time. I think Alvin is, even though I think he's had fun with recruiting, I think it's kind of weighing on him. So probably want to go ahead and get that one in. And then I think you're going to have to battle to keep him because, you know, it's hard to – I mean, you got to think about kid from a small town. You don't get a lot of eyes on you, and then all of a sudden you start getting eyes on you, and it feels good. It feels good. So I get wanting to take extra phone calls, wanting to take extra visits, all that good stuff. Have a ton of fun with it. You just got to work on this one. You got to work on him from the time you get him to the time he signs. So let's see what happens Friday. That could be one to watch. The following Saturday, April 14th, my favorite quarterback of the class so far, Hassan Longstreet. He was here a couple of weekends ago. Then had an official visit. Had an unbelievable time. We made a massive impression. That was his first time to Auburn. It seems like we knocked it out of the park. The plan that we have for him, where he sees himself, the competition ahead of him, who he's got coming in, who we've had come in that he could possibly be throwing to. I think all of that and the system, he really is excited about that. He leaves Auburn and he goes to visit Texas A&M again, I think for a second time. And I'll be honest, I felt like after that Texas A&M visit, he may go ahead. He announced that date, April 14th, but I felt like he would either possibly commit or say, I'm shutting down my recruitment. And that would kind of signify I'm going to Texas A&M, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Not only didn't he do that, but he also scheduled another visit to Auburn this weekend for A-Day, which is massive. He will visit Ole Miss and Oregon in between, like this week. Like, he's probably at Ole Miss now, then he'll go to Oregon, then he's going to come and, you know, hopefully come for A-Day like scheduled. If he comes for A-Day, that will be the last visit that he has before he commits the following Saturday. So I think there's some optimism. I think that we're feeling good right now about where we sit. Hopefully you dodge, you know, an Ole Miss bag or, you know, a Nike bag from Oregon that possibly, you know, steals him in the 11th hour. But if he gets here, if he shows up for A-Day, you got to feel good about that. And if this kid is a borderline five-star already, I think he's top 30 player in the country. Typically around 25 to 28 kids are five stars every year. And he's right there borderline. And he is spectacular. If you watch his highlight film, not many highlight films are over 10 minutes long. You know, typically you chop up your best plays. It's 5 or 6 minutes. This kid's highlight film is 10 minutes long. And it's not 10 minutes of throwing screen passes. It's 10 minutes of literally, you know, being able to throw on the run, throwing it deep, running the ball a little bit. He's not incredibly mobile. He's not like a 1,000-yard rusher type mobile, but he's somebody that can move the pocket, somebody that can extend, somebody that can make plays, kind of like a Baker Mayfield-ish type player. Not, you know, not necessarily a huge, you know, 25, 30-yard gain type guy, but a guy that can scramble, get you 5, 6 yards, can, you know, run around in the pocket and make stuff happen. So if you get Alvin and then you stack Hassan the next week, boy, you got it rolling. And how big of a deal is it to get a quarterback in early in your class? I think it's just absolutely massive. It seems like once you can get that quarterback solidified, and if you can get him early, other folks want to come play with him. There's going to be a lot of kids that want to come play with this guy. There's going to be, I mean, you're talking about a kid from California, played at high competition level. There's going to be wide receivers that want to come play with him. There's going to be often, believe it or not, even though we already have a bunch of offensive linemen, there's going to be more offensive linemen that want to come block for this kid. There's going to be defensive guys that just want to be a part of the class just because you have a borderline five-star quarterback. So just like Walker White, it's big to get a kid in early. And I think we got a better than, you know, a better than just like a puncher's chance. I think you got a chance to win this one. So let's see what happens this week. And if he shows up this weekend, it is a long trip. So mean, anything can happen. But if he shows up this weekend, I think you got to love where you sit with Hassan Longstreet. So that's number. That's another guy you can watch this week. Another guy you can watch, and this one could maybe even come before, you know, Alvin Henderson or between Alvin Henderson and Hassan Longstreet, is Jacoby Ward. Jacoby Ward's an interior offensive lineman from Savannah, Georgia. Coincidentally, he went to the same high school as Holden Gariner. So St. Benedictine High School. Here's the thing. You're going to pull up Jacoby Ward's profile and you're going to go, three-star, who cares, kind of thing. You know, he's a three-star on all, three sites. Seems like, you know, somewhere around like the, I think On3 industry rankings has him at like the, 570th player in the country right now. But then you scroll down and you look at his offer list. You got South Carolina, Alabama, LSU, Miami, Kentucky, some of the big names in the South with offers for this kid. And I typically don't, when you're taking these guys in March, that means you see something and you really like it and you want to have, and you want to go ahead and get it locked down now, because either A, the secret's going to get out, or B, this guy's going to go to camps and blow up, and then everybody's going to be coming at him like crazy. And that could very well happen for this kid. 6'4", 300 pounds. I think, again, interior guy. The coaches love him. The coaches absolutely love this kid. And I don't think there's much not to like about him, especially when you look at, again, you look at that offer list and look at who else is coming after him. But you add him, that gives you, I think, four. That'll give you your fourth offensive lineman in the class fourth offensive lineman in the class, and it's only April. Okay, it's only April. Then you still got, still got a Broderick Scholl, four-star guy out there. Still got a Micah DeBose, four-star guy out there. You still got guys out there that you want to add. Even though you got four, you want to add at least two more. Three if you can get them. Three would be pushing it, because seven offensive linemen in one class – you got to start thinking the size of the class may start cannibalizing it a little bit and make it easier for A, other schools to come recruit away, saying, hey, you're never going to play. Look at how this big class, blah, blah, blah. And then B, hey, where am I going to fit on this depth chart? We're getting this little bit of a logjam right now. So two more maybe max, including, not including Jacoby Dean, maybe give you a total of six for the class, but love getting these guys in March. You got Ty Buster. We didn't even really get to talk about him. Ty Buster, another interior offensive lineman that you probably have pinpointed at being your center. You got Spencer Dallin, who's an offensive tackle. You got Traveris Dice, who's an offensive tackle. Then you got Broderick Scholl, who's an offensive tackle. You basically got a whole starting offensive line if you add Jacoby Dean. I'm sorry, not Jacoby Dean. If you add this guy and then you add the Broderick Scholl, Jacoby Ward, you add him and you add Broderick Scholl, that's a starting five. You know, that's every position on the line. Kind of ideal. you don't dislike it. You don't dislike that at all. So those three, I think, are one to watch. And another one that's big to watch that it seems like he's been on the verge for quite a while now. I think let's watch, got to keep an eye on Anquan Fagans. This is, could be your, maybe your headliner of the class so far. He is an absolute stud. He's at Thompson High School. And again, it's just good to get a kid from, it would be great to get a kid from high school, Thompson High School. He's a top one, a consensus top 100 player, the number four player in the state. Just an absolute stud safety who I feel like Auburn is in a great position. I think at times he's even said Auburn's the leader. It'd be great to go ahead and get him to pull the trigger in April. And it may happen. It may happen. He is, I think he's getting ready to wind it down as well. But that would be a huge, huge coup, a huge pickup that Auburn, desperately needs. Now, if you add those four guys, and then there, I mean, again, there's guys like Eric Winters that you've been battling for a long time. If you add those four guys, though, you're talking a huge boost in the rankings. If you add those four guys to your commit list, that puts you at 13 sort of going into the end of the semester, into the summer. And like I said, if you can start the summer off, or if you can get through summer around the 15, 16 commit mark, you are elated. You're elated. Now you can kind of focus on football. It makes it a little bit easier to sort of put some of those ancillary, those off-field staff guys on your commits and make sure you're touching those guys and make sure you're making contact with those guys so they're happy. And then you just kind of shrink your pool of who you got to go after and finish off this class when you're also coaching a football team. So Auburn's way ahead of schedule, way ahead of schedule. 9 commits. Hopefully in the next 2 weeks, we'll add that, get that up to 11 or 12, and then sort of close out the month strong. So it's cruton season. It's cruton season. And then shortly after that, or during that, actually, it's going to be the spring portal season, which is going to be a lot of fun as well. So looks like the wheels are turning. March still kind of ended up like we expected. I would count the Devin Williams commitment for March. It was basically the end of February. It may hit that leap year. It may have been on that leap year day, which is essentially March 1st. So March was great. Hopefully you can stack up April. March was kind of marred with a little bit of the decommitments. But I think you've kind of filled those back up and you're ready to move forward. So let's close off April strong. I guess we got to get it started. It's only April 2nd. So let's get it started this weekend with Alvin Henderson. Let's keep our fingers crossed and then let's see what happens towards the end of the month. So a lot of fun, a lot of visits, a lot of insane amount of 4- and 5-star talent that have been here over the last, you know, month or so. And I think it's going to pay dividends here very soon. All right, there's also a big basketball visitor on campus. And before we get to that, we got to give a shout out to PlainsCoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off every single order that you ever order. So you want to get a little repetitive action going, maybe treat it like a subscription. Use coupon code BUTTON every single time, get 10% off. They got a little bit of everything for the coffee drinker. And then if you don't like coffee, they have teas too, but you can get dark roast, light roast, basically if you have a unique coffee niche that you like, plainscoffee.com is going to have it. And it's going to be ground fresh before it ships. It's not going to be in a stale old can that's been sitting on a shelf for months. It's going to be fresh in a bag that you can smell from the mailbox. So check them out, plainscoffee.com, and show them some love. All right, so there's a basketball visitor. If he's not already on campus, he'll be on campus soon, like today-ish. And that's J.P. Pegues, point guard from Furman. I don't know if it's Furman University or the University of Furman or if it's just Furman. I'm not really sure exactly what it is, but an older guy. This will be his fourth year of college. Hey, we're about out of this COVID year. We're just about clear of this COVID year stuff, and it's just going to be, you know, regular old seniors and redshirt seniors and stuff like that. We're not going to have super seniors and graduates and all that stuff, but this is just a regular old run-of-the-mill junior that's transferring, a would-be senior, played a lot of basketball. Basically, it doesn't look like he was a backup his freshman year, and then he's played 30-plus minutes the last 2 years. Great scorer of the basketball, averages 18 points a game this past season. Great percentage from three, which I love. 36% from three, 50% from two, which is good. You know, can he finish when he gets to the rim? Looks like he does it at a pretty high clip. And then the key stat to me that I love to see from a point guard, averaged about right at 5 free throws a game. He made 4 of them. So you're shooting high 80s, almost 90% from the line. And that's what you want from a point guard. You know, that's where we struggled. I'm just going to be completely honest. That's where this team's weakness was having a dominant point guard that could, you know, break defenses down, penetrate, get in the lane, dish it. You know, if you can penetrate the lane as a point guard and you're a threat to score, if you're a threat to score or a threat to get fouled, like you're going to draw attention, which is going to then free up other guys. And we have a bunch of dead eye shooters that if we had a point guard that could, you know, if you get picked up at half court, it doesn't intimidate you, and you get it slows up the flow of getting the guys into their sets. If you got a guy that's got experience that can get the ball down the court, and then when the shot clock is starting to go late, he can break it down, get inside, and then either go up, finish, or get fouled. That to me is an element to this offense that we've sorely missed. To me, this guy is sort of he could be kind of like a Wendell Green player, but a better shooter and a little bit more clutch too. If you look up his highlights, what you're going to see is, I think in the tournament last year, in the NCAA tournament last year, Furman took down Virginia and he hit the game-winning shot from nearly half court, the game-winning three-pointer from nearly half court. So the guy can hit shots late. He can hit shots early. And I think it could be a huge addition. He's visited South Carolina this past weekend, but I think Auburn really feels good about this kid. I think Auburn, and he possibly could seal the deal. There's one thing about him that is a little bit different. So I talked about the COVID stuff. Okay. So when he was being recruited, it's right in the peak of COVID. Okay. So he didn't get the opportunity to actually be recruited. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't get the opportunity to go on visits, to go on officials, be wined and dined and things like that. So naturally, I get it. I get wanting to go take visits. And he may still take some visits after Auburn, but it wouldn't also shock me if he's not committed by the time he leaves, or at least, or shortly thereafter. So he's one that Bruce has targeted. And I think this is there's been a narrative that we're just okay with just getting there. We're just okay with getting there. I think this pretty much shoots this in the foot. So you can stop saying, oh, I'm ready for Auburn to start winning in the tournament, or I'm ready for Auburn to stop choking in the preseason. Well, this is how you do that, okay? So you're not the only one that wants to go further than the weekend. Bruce Pearl actually does too. And it's funny to me that that's ever been a thing, that like you want it more than, you know, Bruce Pearl, or that there's people that are just okay with just getting there. And this is this sends to me a huge signal that we just brought in an All-American, McDonald's All-American last year, Aiden Holloway, and you have a three-year, four-star kid who's not bad. Trey Donaldson's very, very, he can be productive at times. He definitely doesn't hurt you. He's limited a little bit at being able to, you know, again, drive, finish, get to the line. I think he only shoots he averages like one free throw a game. And I know that's in limited minutes, but I think even if you play your 40 minutes, that's two. So those guys, Aiden and Trey, struggled at times when they played a little bit better guards that could sort of focus on picking them up at half court and giving them a lot of pressure. And Bruce isn't satisfied with that. They're probably both welcome to stay, but hey, we're going to go find the best point guard we can find, and y'all are going to compete for minutes. That's just what we're going to do. We're going to go battle. We're going to go try to win. I think this sends a huge signal to all those people that made up these folks that are just happy with losing, I guess, satisfied with losing. All these people that made up this narrative that Bruce is just okay and we should just, you know, be fine with it. He's not even okay. He's not even okay with it. We're bringing in this point guard. And if you don't get JP Pegues, there's multiple guards that Bruce is sort of zeroing in on. I think this, if you add this guy, you may look at adding one more guard, and then you just kind of see what your big guys do and see where you have to fit in there. And hopefully you get some news from Broom and Cardwell very soon so that you can kind of make the adjustments accordingly. So JP Pegues, keep an eye on it. Huge, would be a great addition. A little bit bigger point guard, 6'1", which people have kind of been begging for. You know, not have, you know, just, you know, a good size point guard that can shoot the three, and can get the ball inside and make stuff happen. Big time scorer, 18 points a game. He's not a volume shooter from the aspect of he's got to shoot a bunch of shots to get that, because he shoots at a high clip. He shoots at a high percentage. So would be a welcome addition, and I think that could be your starting point guard next year if you land him. So let's see what happens with JP Pegues. But a lot of big things going on for April, man. I'm excited for A-Day. I'm excited for spring recruiting. I'm excited for spring portal. And then let's see what this how this basketball roster shapes out. And then eventually I think your baseball team is going to catch fire. They've been knocking on the door a few times, winning a lot of losing a lot of close games, not really getting blown out. So eventually the numbers got to fall your way, kind of like they did last year. I think it was a similar deal where it just seemed like you were right there, and then all of a sudden you burst your way and you make it to the tournament. And then obviously you fall short in the tournament, but still you got to get there to be able to fall short. So you got to get there to fall short, and you got to get there to be able to go further. So let's see what happens with baseball. Spring's going to be fun. Weather's great. It's time to boog. So, guys, this is episode 30. I really appreciate it. Holy cow, 30 shows already. It's been a lot of fun. Subscribe to this channel. Like this video. Tell a friend about it. Tell a friend about old Charlie Five. Tell a friend that they need to teach a friend what to boog means. Teach a friend what booging means. And let's have some fun doing it. So I appreciate it. Follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. There it is right there. And I really appreciate it, guys. I'll catch you back on Thursday. And let's see if things change with Alvin Henderson, if we feel better about it, if we feel worse about it. I'll try to keep you posted and then sort of preview the spring game moving forward. So, again, I really appreciate it, guys. We will catch you on Thursday. This is episode 30 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening. Drive home safely.